This is Welcome Home Radio, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on locally owned KYNO. Brought to you by the Community Housing Council. Now, here's your host, Don Scordino.
Well, good morning. It's time for Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host, and we are now in our 18th year of bringing great local information to our listeners about our community and your real estate needs and dreams. And more so about the community, because actually, isn't that what home ownership is? It's becoming a part of the community. And I want to thank our sponsor, the Community Housing Council of Fresno, for making this show possible and relevant. And by the way, we have a great guest here today. He knows a thing or two about our area, and I think it has something to do with his position with the city of Clovis, and that is Mayor Vong Mwanatua.
Well, thank you, Don. Thank you for just being just a trusted voice, especially not just in this industry, but for everything housing related.
Yes, my mother would be very upset with me if I wasn't trustworthy.
Well, you're
she hasn't been
voice.
Around for many years, but I'm sure she would still find me to spank me if I if I ever did something like not trustworthy.
So that means you have a loving mother then.
Yes. Yeah, I was so fortunate that way.
Good.
Well, I would like to talk about the city of Clovis. And why would someone want to choose to live in Clovis? Let me give you an example. Somebody's in Timbuktu, New Jersey, and thinking about moving to the West Coast. Why should they choose Clovis over San Francisco, Los Angeles, or wherever?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, if you're a young family, you're looking for a place that has top-notch schools. And we have the best school district, Clovis Unified, there. You also want some place that is safe and that has a lot of amenities to your neighborhood, like trails and parks. And all of our neighborhoods are built with that in mind. And so we are also the safest city in the valley. So if you're going to choose anywhere, you want it to be safe, because you can't enjoy any of the amenities. You can't enjoy going to a school right in your neighborhood if you don't feel safe. And I think we offer those things just as a region, meaning just Fresno County as a region. We are right by everywhere. So in other words, if you like the mountains, you're right there. If you want the beach, you're right there. If you want to go up and down the valley, travel up to see your legislatures up in Sacramento, you're just a couple hours away. In other words, we're a perfect spot to go everywhere that the state has to offer any family.
We truly are centrally located.
Yes, we are. I would say we are the heart of California, but some other regions would argue for that.
Oh, I told Governor Jerry Brown that one time that, hey, I'm from Fresno. We're the heart and center of California. Yes. He corrected me. Now, this was in jest. He goes, let me tell you why you're not. And he went into the number of voters that we have compared to Orange County. He goes, so if I want to win an election, I'm going to Orange County.
Wow. So. Well, if we don't feed the rest of the state, they're coming here.
So we
have that, and people forget that.
I should have had a comeback like that.
Yeah.
All right. Why is it that Clovis Unified School District is so good?
Well, I think the original superintendent and boards had a couple concepts in mind, in that every school will have the best amenities, the best facilities. That's important. So that way, wherever you live, you're not going, oh, I want that school in the north, I want that school in the east. No, every school will have the best technology, the best classroom, and the best teachers and staff around. That's something that you have to set the standard for. So whenever there's a bond measure, whenever they're building something, they're giving it the best. So a neighborhood or a neighbors that come into that neighborhood that goes to that school will go, oh, there's nothing here that we don't get any other place in Clovis Unified. And that's important.
Now, from the real estate side of it, I can tell you that rarely do I have somebody that says, I want to live in this elementary school district, whether it be Fresno, Central, Clovis Unified. Mm-hmm. But we certainly have people that say, I want to be in Clovis Unified. So from a real estate standpoint and not even knowing test scores or anything like that, I can tell you the desirability for Clovis Unified Schools is up there.
But I think what you just said is a compliment to the excellence of the school district. I bet you will hear in Fresno, well, I prefer this part of Fresno Unified versus that part of Fresno Unified. You know, the Bullard area, that's a desirable. You know, that's where all the talent is. That's where. So in other words, there you get there if your school district isn't performing equally. And that's that's something that sometimes districts forget, that you want to elevate the entire district. So that way growth, wherever it occurs, and development, and also even just for homes that people are trying to rent or rebuy, they're in a good district no matter what. So there's no second thought.
You also mentioned that Clovis is very safe. Why is it safe?
Because we prioritize safety. Mm-hmm. Safety is the key. I mean, the council and to the people, we want the place to be safe. We're willing to pay extra for it to be safe because recently we passed Measure Y, which has allowed us to get up to 139 officers for 130,000 people. Usually it's a one-to-one ratio, meaning 1,000 people per one officer. We are the first time above that level. And now we can bring in other specialty units within police. And then fire has also increased to where two stations have two engines running from it. And we have implemented two squads. Squads are sort of F-250, two people inside of it. They head to an emergency call first, especially if it's non-fire, level one, level two. So they can show up and be on site. Because with all safety calls, time is of the essence. You know, whether it's a crime or whether it's a health incident, you want your public safety to be there on time quickly. So that way we can assess. And even with that, we've invested in drones. So calls that qualify for drone deployment, the drone can get there quicker than any car. And the drone can assess and let the officer who is showing up, here's the danger spots, this is the makeup of the place, here's trees there. So that way when the officer shows up, we can identify. There was an article recently where someone there's been a lot of smash and grabs that we've been hearing the last several years. So there was a burglary. The drone was there. The drone was able to follow the thief so that way the police officer can actually get them. Because if we were just going straight to the merchant, they would have been gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we would not have caught the perpetrator.
And even on non-emergency things, let's talk about service. I had an incident last year on one of my listings, not my own home, but one of my listings. We needed to get a police report on that.
Yeah.
And I remember sending an email 8:07 the next morning. I got the copy of the police report.
Yeah, that is something that we want. I mean, some have called it the broken window theory or just to respond to everything before it escalates. And so we will respond to pretty much every call and we will get someone there. Many times an auto accident, if you call police and go, well, they want to get hurt. No, forget it. Make your own report. We will respond to every single call. We will respond to neighborhood calls on, I think that car has been parked there 3 days. And we'll come out and figure out what's wrong, or the branch is over, or the dog's barking too much. We want to help neighbors resolve peacefully some of their concerns and issues.
All right. You also had mentioned we got in Clovis, we got a lot of nice trails.
Yes.
And parks, and neighborhood parks. How did that come about?
That came about from very smart planning. And so whenever a neighborhood is designed and planned out, we usually create a master plan. So a master plan is like more detailed than the general plan. The general plan just identifies zonings of the entire area. But the master plan actually takes a specific area, Loma Vista, Harlan Ranch, Heritage Grove, Old Town specific plan. And we actually say, where are the trails? How are the homes going to be situated? Where are all the entry points? What about monument features? We designed it all so that way when a developer comes in, oh, if I got a corner, I have to do a corner monument feature to identify this four block or square block. I also have to know that if I'm in Loma Vista, I got to build a trail to the center, to a central park. So there's going to be a trail that comes from all four corners going there. If you're in Heritage Grove, you already know, oh, it's kind of like a ranch style trail. It's going to be wider. There's got to be this type of landscaping. And when you plan it out, the developers know, and then we can hold them accountable to just not be building everything hodgepodge. I like this. You like that. No, it's going to fit this design. Whether it's small homes, large homes, medium-sized homes, multifamily, it's going to fit within the neighborhood.
All right. For some of our listeners who aren't in the metropolitan area here, they might be out in Hanford or Merced or something. What is Heritage Grove, Loma Vista? I mean, do we have sub-cities inside of the big city?
Yeah, there are, I think it's called, what do you call those? Irvine has a lot of them. It's specific plans for, I think I'm going to get this word later on.
And I know what you're after.
Yeah.
Right? But because it's left.
It's the village concept there.
Yeah,
it's a village. And so it's Loma Vista Village.
That's
so it has its own character. The street signs has a little logo that identifies you there. And then Heritage Grove has its own, you know, unique village style. Harlan Ranch has its own as well. And then in Old Town, it has its own. And so it's not identical to every part of Clovis. Depending on where you build and where you live, you will have a certain amenity.
So, and I think that gives some added personality to,
it does.
The city of Clovis that you have villages.
Yes.
And village, that's the word.
Yeah, that is the word.
That I had, that I was thinking it too, but when you lost it, I lost it too.
Yeah, it is the village concept, and we've been trying to, wherever we expand and or look at spheres of influence or growth areas, we go, okay, how's that village? You know, it's going to be called home place. You know, this is going to be called whatever it is, and then it's unique.
All right. Well, thank you. We are going to have to go to our first commercial break, but when we get back, there's more to talk about. I want to find out how the city government works in Clovis. So
we'll
stay tuned. Thank you. Well, welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host. Here in the studio, we have Vong Muanatua, who is the mayor of the city of Clovis, visiting us today.
Yes.
And I did say your name right.
You are an expert now at it.
Yeah. It's actually easy.
Yes, it is. The spelling is scarier than the pronunciation.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I get that with my name, Scordinos. People look at it and it intimidates them, but yet it's easy.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So how does the Clovis government work, the structure of it? How did you become mayor? Because I know you were elected as a city council person.
Mm-hmm. So the city of Clovis is, before this year, is all at large. So you select all five of your council members at large, meaning each citizen can elect all five of their council members. And then about 2.5 years ago now, we were threatened with a lawsuit that if we don't switch to districts, we would be sued. Every city that has been sued and who has challenged the lawsuit has lost. So these firms and this law has decided on the side of districts 100% all the time, every time. Mm-hmm. And so we had the duty to hold hearings and to divide the city up to five districts. And current council members will not lose your seat until an election comes up. And if you don't live in the district, you can move to a different district or you can just challenge each other and run. So the town was broken up into five districts. And so if you want, I can describe the districts to you. Or do you want to go into governance first before we go into the districts?
First, I want to know who sued.
It is a firm down from Beverly Hills who has done most of the suing across the state. It's almost like your ADA lawsuits where if they write you a letter, they're guaranteed $60,000 already.
Okay.
And then they can sue to get more.
Okay. And I didn't need to know a name. So it's not the government.
No. Suing. But he's using the government law that is the the California Voting Rights Act. That's what he's suing under. And that lawsuit says, because there are certain disadvantaged or disenfranchised communities, meaning of different races, potentially you need to break it up so that way that community can elect their person into office. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said that's kind of absurd, because that implies that everybody votes the same if they're the same color.
Yeah.
And I don't think they do. They may have little blocks here and there, but that's not how, it works, because you don't see all blacks voting the same, Asians voting the same, whites voting the same. And so that's sort of the intent. And so that's why we complied, and we broke the city up to 5 districts. And so
where are those 5 districts?
It starts from, if you look at the city as a whole, it sort of goes counterclockwise. The dividing line between the north districts and the south districts is pretty much Sierra, Bullard Sierra, not all the way up to Herndon.
I know why they pick Sierra. I'm going to take a guess now. Okay. Sierra is also the north-south boundary for addresses.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So that must be because zip codes. Yes.
Not so much zip codes. But let's say you are 2 blocks north of Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
You are the 200 block. Oh, address will be 200 north.
Yeah. I understand you're saying the numbers. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
If you're south of Sierra, there is no north.
Okay.
But you start over again. So there may be on the same street, you might have the 201 and 201 north and south.
North
and they're
and
actually
south.
4 blocks apart.
Okay. Well, I learned something new because I know that the numbering is like that.
Yeah. And Minnewawa is the east-west divide.
Okay. So the District 1 is Willow Avenue, sort of Sierra on the north. The south is pretty much Ashland, but it's really that canal on the bottom, but Ashland.
The Gould Canal.
The Gould Canal, yeah. And it goes all the way to Clovis Avenue. So it's Willow to Clovis, Sierra, it's sort of Ashland down there. And then District 2 is Clovis Avenue, still northern part is Sierra, and then Ashland, and then it goes to Temperance. So it's Clovis to Temperance. So it's Willow to Clovis, Clovis to Temperance, and then Temperance all the way out to the eastern border. And the north-south is what we just said. And so District 1, 2, and 3. 4 is right above 3, and it covers Harlan Ranch. The dividing line is still the southern border is Sierra, but the dividing line between 4 and 5 or on top is Sunnyside. So East Sunnyside is 4, West Sunnyside is 5. And so that's sort of how the districts are divided. Up for election this year for the first time ever is 4, 5, and 1. Okay, 4, 5, and 1. 1, there's no current council member in 1. So it's truly an open seat.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 is Lynn, 3 is me. Matt and Diane live up in Harlan Ranch, which is 4. And then Drew lives up in 5. And so the current filing just opened on Monday. So any of you interested in running for city council, it's 4, 5, and 1. And so once they are elected, you serve at large, elected by the districts. Lynn and I will still be at large until our district election is up in 2028. And then those will be district elections at that time. And then from there, everyone still selects, the council selects among themselves who is mayor. And the mayor can serve, depending on what they decide a term is, 2 years or 1 year. I'm just serving a 2-year term as mayor right now. And so it's a council decision, and you serve on as mayor. And there's no higher voter authority. You run the meetings, but other than that, it's the same vote as the other four council members.
Okay, so you still get to vote. You're just the one who says meeting's adjourned.
That's right.
You have the gavel.
That's it. And so we have it's called a co-management leadership system in Clovis, where the council sets policy, but the city manager manages and runs the entire city.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we select the city manager.
Okay, so the city manager is not an elected position.
No, no. He is a paid employee of the city, and mm-hmm. he manages the entire city. Yeah.
All right, and that's the full-time position. I would imagine city council
is
not
part-time.
Part-time.
We get a little stipend, like $1,300 a month. And so
okay.
A little stipend just to pay for gas.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And you serve 4-year terms, and it's unlimited term limits, and so you can serve a while, like Harry Armstrong served for 46 years.
Wow.
So one of the longest ever in the state of California as an elected official.
And they even named a street after him.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
We named
the
transit center.
I hope you don't go 46 years, because then they're going to have to name a street Moanatua. And who's... Well, who's going to spell that one?
That's right. Or we shouldn't be doing it to get a street name, that's all. We should really be doing being part-time, you're really doing it because you care. Because most of us still hold a full-time job.
All right. What is your full-time job?
I work at the hospital, and I teach at Fresno State. So I'm a director at the hospital, and I teach in the forensics department at Fresno State.
All right. Yeah. Interesting.
So, thank you.
That'll keep you busy.
It does, you know, with the family and all the kids. So, yeah, busy enough.
Yeah. All right. So when did your term as mayor start?
It started 25, beginning of 25. So I'm served all of 25, and I'll serve all of 26. We will reorganize in December after the November election. So most likely we'll get a new council, and then at that time the council will reorganize, meaning select who is mayor, who's mayor pro tem, and move from there.
Okay, mm-hmm. And there's 5 city council people.
Yes.
Which is different than Fresno, because Fresno has 7.
That's right.
But Fresno also has what's called the strong mayor. Where the mayor is elected by the
city
at large. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he actually has authority over his departments. So he's sort of like an executor, like the president, where he has cabinet, meaning the departments.
Yeah.
And so transportation, public works, sewer, refuse, all that, police, fire, he oversees all of them with his city manager.
All right. Great. Now, going to the county, here's a better question asked. So what does the city take care of? What does the county take care of? And what does the state take care of?
Okay. So city, you really only take care within your jurisdiction. The most of our work is land use and business, economic development, and permits. So land use meaning, here's a piece of dirt, what will it be? Or here's an existing usage. Do we want to change it or keep it or make higher restrictions? And in that land use process, there's general plan amendments, rezones, and general plan updates. All those things are part of land use. And connected to it then is permitting. So businesses, you oversee the permitting. You oversee what's going on and licensing. And then you have police and fire. And we take care of the gray bins, which is just regular trash. So all recycling is contracted out, but we take care of that. We have our own landfill up in Auberry. So we take our refuse and we take it up there. And water and sewer. So those are sort of pretty much what you get in the city. I always tell people, if you got curb, you're pretty much in the city. And if the street signs are brown, you're in Clovis. If you don't have curb, you're pretty much in the county. And then so when you know you're in the county, the county now doesn't have sewer is usually septic. Water is usually a well. And then you probably have more broad guidelines on what you can do on your property, as in, you know, you're probably relying on sheriff and Cal Fire to come take care of you. With us, police and fire, it's a 5-minute expectation we have for police and 7-minute for fire. Cal Fire and sheriffs, I don't know what their times are, and what their recommendations are. And so you are much broader. And then the state can implement things on our level depending on what they deem is a item of public interest. Mm-hmm. So they've been doing a lot of zoning land use stuff, meaning you will build this type of home, you will build these levels of home, and we are making you do it. Or you will get this money for roads only if you do this.
And I want to talk more about that okay. in our third segment. I have a nephew who is pounding me with questions on why are they building homes like that?
Yeah.
So stay tuned for our next segment to Welcome Home Radio. Thank you. Well, welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host. Today, we have the mayor of Clovis here, Vong Muanatua, and I want to take this opportunity to thank the Community Housing Council for being our sponsor for this show, and I hope we do them well by giving good information to the public about our community, about home ownership, and such. So in the last segment, I mentioned that I have a nephew that he questions everything. You got to love the guy. He's 31 years old, 32 years old now. Born and raised in Italy, came here 3 years ago. But he's really interested about the community, about housing, about finance. And he asks me a ton of questions. He keeps me on my toes. In fact, usually at Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, we're asked to go outside because it gets boring.
Yeah.
But his most recent question is, why are we building all these high density homes?
It's a simple question, complex implementation. Simple in that the state is mandating it. And so the state, every 6-7 years, they have a regional housing needs assessment. So what it does, it takes counties into consideration, and it takes the state number of needed homes to build. Large, low, medium, high density. And so it takes all that and then it allocates it to all the counties. And then the county then takes that number and distributes it to the cities. Clovis has 9,800 something homes to build in this next cycle. Within that 9,800, then you get low density homes, medium density homes, high density homes, multifamily homes. And so several thousand in each. And because of the numbers, there are a lot more allocated to your high density homes and your multifamily homes. And so because of that, there are not a need, but a requirement for you to build those. And
Thank
so there
you.
Are less and less sort of large lot homes. Mm-hmm. Just by default from the state, because we can no longer just say, yes, developer, landowner, divide it into only 5 homes your acre. No. Some of it you have to divide into 13 homes. Some of it, depending on the zone, 23 homes. And so it's made it where it's by law that you have to meet these numbers. What the state has done is they have tied you not meeting some of these requirements to housing funding, other types of funding that the cities would usually get. And so because of that, they kind of tie your arm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they hold you hostage because, we need this for public transportation. But if we don't do this over here, they tied everything together. So that's why you're seeing that a lot more. And you're seeing very few sort of your larger lot homes being built.
So let's take this discussion and let me give the desirability from a typical buyer, which I work with that all the time. Most buyers come in and I have a little consultation with them, say, what are you looking for? How many bedrooms? You know, what area? That almost all of them are going to say they want a good size lot.
Yeah.
And now when they tell me, oh, but we also want something newer, it's like, oh boy, this is going to be hard to find.
Yeah, there are less. And I think one thing that we have learned from the past is Southwest Clovis, when we planned that, we put too much multifamily together. And so now you have a concentration of apartments in Southwest. We don't want to commit that kind of planning ever again. We want to mix it into the neighborhoods. But mixing it also, then other neighbors are like, I don't want to live next to a multifamily. I just, you know, want similar homes. But by mixing it, it allows, we have seen that it allows for your grandparents to live in a smaller unit very close to you because they no longer need a large home. So it's actually solved a problem that we, I guess, didn't plan for, but somehow miraculously it just helped with that. They can downsize and move just right there, and their kid can be just down the street. Kind of Harlan Ranch was built that way. You saw small lots, big lots, medium lots, all interspersed together. And that worked really well over there.
And you know, there's another neighborhood, not in Clovis, in Fresno, that was built that way. It's called the Dominion.
I know about the Dominion.
And it's got everything there, all the way from apartments to mansions.
Yes.
And everything in between. So it gave home buyers a choice.
Yes. And what we're finding also, Don, is this discussion of affordability. It used to be just people we didn't think. What I'm trying to say is today it's our kids who can't afford it there. That's all I'm trying to say. And it's no longer a stranger. It's like, oh, my kid got out of college, is this, but can't buy a home in Clovis. So the affordability, and now it's hitting a larger and larger group of the population. And how do we do it? I mean, one way really is just to increase the supply. Mm-hmm. If we don't increase the supply, the demand is there. And so the prices will always be high. And so we, as the city, cannot keep getting in the way of someone not being able to build. Because if we keep doing that, supply stays low, prices high, no one can afford. It hurts everyone.
And you're talking to a guy that's been in the local real estate market for 50 years and full-time at it. And I can tell you, back in the 80s and 90s, when they were building lots of homes, prices didn't skyrocket.
They
went up. Maybe that neighborhood used to sell for $100,000, now it's selling for $110,000 10 years later.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a lot of skyrocketing prices, but there was also a lot of new construction. And I'm going to say this, those homes built in the 70s, 80s, even the 90s had a 6,000 square foot lot. And in the 90s, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think City of Clovis, even for a while, said 9,000 square feet is the minimum.
And so I'm a marketplace person. Whenever the market dictates, let's allow that. But that has sort of gone out the window with state coming in and just saying, well, smaller equals more affordable. And so because of that, they're forcing us. So that way we can meet these housing numbers that is a need statewide. And so because of that, that's what's happening. That's what you're seeing all around more and more. And so,
So builders can no longer, is it the builder's choice to give the buyer what they want? Or it's starting to sound like it's more the state of California's choice.
I wouldn't blame the builders in that we are the ones who created the zoning. And we're creating the zoning based upon what the state is mandating that we do. So the state's saying, build these, make sure you have enough zones for medium, high density, all that kind of stuff, multifamily. So we're looking at our map and going, okay, so we'll just say, yeah, oh, we got to color this one, color that one, color. And so because of that, there are less lots to build sort of your low density homes. Mm-hmm. And so there's less choices. And when there's less, you just know, oh, it's going to be expensive now, because the people who can afford will be able to afford regardless. And because there's less homes, that price is going to go up high. And then the sort of your high density homes, if it was, your starter homes do sell very well in Clovis. Sort of your elevations, Bonadelli has a product as well, so does Lennar. So everybody has that start. Those sell out pretty quickly. Why? Because it's our nurses, teachers. People are making good salaries buying these starter homes, which are 400,000 and above. So really it's not your low, but it's a small home.
And what's the lot size on something like that?
Oh, four, maybe?
Yeah, 4,000 yeah. square feet.
Uh-huh. And the side yard setbacks are like 3 feet and five yeah. feet. It's yeah. just to fit your toter to go back and forth.
And here just a few minutes ago, I was referencing that the minimum used to be 6,000 square feet.
Yes.
So now what I'm hearing is the state is saying, nope, you need to go down to 4,000.
Yeah.
And I've seen many even lower than that.
Mm-hmm. And so there's that. There's more. If you have a big lot, they're allowing ADUs a lot more now, or lot splits with the SB9. So used to be, okay, one home here, you can actually divide that one home to two homes and build mm-hmm. a smaller home, which means it's a smaller unit. And so when you do an SB9 lot split, it's by right. So what mm-hmm. by right means is you can do it without having a hearing, so people can't say anything, meaning the public loses the ability to go, I don't want my neighbor to split his half acre lot into four little lots and build four little homes. Well, it's by right. So they get to do it mm-hmm. if they can afford to, and then get four residents into what used to be a one home.
And it used to be a single family residence, or other words referred to as R1 zoning, mm-hmm. meant mm-hmm. one home on one lot.
Yeah.
But now I know out of Sacramento, they came in with that, and you said it, SB9, Senate Bill 9, that allowed for accessory dwelling units.
Yes, and so, lot splits.
And lot splits. So now you can build a second home
yes.
on that R1 lot. And
it's by right. That's something people don't understand. So they keep thinking it's us. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the ability of the homeowner to do this so they can mm-hmm. reap more, make the most use of the land that they have. But you kind of lose the public process, public mm-hmm. hearing process from it.
All right. Thank you. Okay. It's already time for our next commercial break. This is just flowing right along. So stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Well, welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Squardino, your host. And here in the studio with us today, we have Vong Mwanatua, city council person and current president for the city of Clovis.
Mayor.
All right. What was I thinking? I wasn't. That's it. Okay. Anyway, what do you see Clovis's growth what should we expect?
Well, our current general plan has the southeast, which is called Loma Vista. We're built out about 72-73%. So there's still about 28% left to build in the southeast. Harlan Ranch is pretty much built out. And then we have Heritage Grove, which is maybe 5%. Okay, so it's sort of north of Shepherd, east of Willow, and Sunnyside area. And it goes south of Copper. That's sort of that block right there. That's the next growth area. It's already planned out. It already has a master plan. So in other words, everything's sort of set. That's why Clovis Unified has bought their land to get ready for the elementary school. And so that is the next major area. We do have other areas in the books, which is sort of north on Harlan Ranch. And so that area is about almost 1,000 acres. And so, excuse me, that's in the works, not fully annexed yet. So they're doing environmental studies. In the southeast, the biggest portion is the land next to Clovis East. You'll still see that there's still orchards there. That is called Home Place. So that has already been approved and is just waiting for it to get off the ground. Home Place will bring in about another 1,000 homes in that area in southeast. And so those plans have been approved. It's just whenever the developer, property owner wants to start. And so we're doing that.
Here's a good story for you as far as growing. I remember when I was a kid, my parents had some friends that had 20 acres out in the boonies, out in the country there. But the city came and bought, had plans, so they moved from Fresno and Bullard Street, which is where, and they moved out it way out into the country where they thought, okay, the city will never catch up to us here. A few years later, they were upset because their 5 acres out on, let's see, Chestnut and Alluvial.
way out in the boonies then, right?
Yeah,
now.
they should have kept on going. Yeah. But the funny thing is they were always upset that they had to move because they wanted that suburban feeling. Yeah. But they also did pretty well with the checkbook when they sold that land.
Well, what you're saying there, Don, is something I think many times homeowners don't remember. You got to go look at the general plan. You may be in a place where you're thinking, wow, I'm out in the country, but it's already in our plan. And we're coming there next. And right now, we're in the middle of our general plan update, where our citizens advisory group and a consultant and our staff are looking at the next areas in which Clovis can expand and or look to grow into. And that general plan update should be finished in about a year, year and a half. And that sets the stage for the next 30 years, about 20 to 30 years on, okay, if I'm going to look to buy, and to escape sort of growth, if that's what you don't like, or expansion, that you better buy out here. Or, no, I'm going to go get this, hold, and hopefully I cash out, like you said, one day. And so that's happening right now. We've looked at planning areas. We looked at values. We looked at sort of zones, what we should do. We're looking at priorities. Where should we focus on? It just doesn't look at the outskirts. It also looks internally. And say, where are some places which we've allowed now? So there's a period in which a homeowner, property owner, sitting inside the city can submit for a amendment to their zone for free. Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, I've been sitting here with industrial for 30 years. It's time to change it to residential or vice versa, whatever it is. And then we're assessing all that, and you get it for free. Usually you have to go through an application, and it's expensive. And so because of the general plan update, we can actually help in spur inner growth, plus look for where the community wants to grow on the outside.
With the current general plan, what are the general boundaries?
The boundaries on the north, you can say, is on the northwest, Willow Copper is sort of our... And mm-hmm. It goes copper all the way to Sunnyside, okay?
Gotcha.
And so, and then it kind of comes back down to Shepherd, and then it cuts Shepherd all the way across to the 168. So everything north is not in it right now, which will come in pretty soon because of this new sphere and general plan update north of Shepherd. And then on the south, we have Loma Vista, which is sort of Shaw and past Leonard a little bit. There, and then Ashland is to Highland, and then the south is pretty much built out. So those are sort of the growth or the planned areas. I don't like the term growth because people come to me and go, it's growing too fast, it's growing too fast. And I look at them and go, you know, this was planned 15 years ago, and they were expecting us to be finished. We are not growing. It's not growth. It's fulfillment of a plan of the citizens 15 years ago and of the council 15 years ago on what they imagined Clovis to be. And that's what we're doing right now for the next cycle.
And growth is nothing new. I remember when in the city of Fresno, Herndon Avenue mm-hmm. was the end of the general plan. Yeah. North of Herndon was, that was the country.
Yeah.
And even what River Park Shopping Center was not even envisioned yet. Mm-hmm. So
for those who don't like multifamily, okay, we'll just put that into where most that bothers people the most, I would say. Growth resolves your concerns a lot more than no more growth, just put it right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're already used to your home. Because if you don't grow, you have no place to put it because the state's going to mandate you put it. So why not plan for it and go, hey, we'll put it around civic, you know, infrastructure. We'll put it around parks. We'll put it around places that really make sense and put it around a commercial center. But if you don't, we're going to look back inside the city and say, it's going next to your neighborhood. It's going back to that lot that has never been built. And so that's what's upsetting people.
So when I was going to Fresno State taking real estate classes, we had a guest speaker that came in, and he showed us this map. He had this vision for the Dominion because it wasn't built yet. Now, the Dominion, for people to know, is Woodward Park over towards Cedar.
Yeah.
And it's got all the crooked streets.
That's right.
And I'm thinking, that'll never work. I even told Leo Wilson. Leo Wilson was our guest speaker. Yeah. So anyway, we just have a couple of minutes left. What would you like our listeners to remember most about today's show?
Well, Don, I just want people to remember that home ownership really is the avenue to get people to get out of poverty. And you and the Fresno Association of Realtors and Realtors all around have been able to lift communities up because you have always pushed home ownership, home affordability, and communities, new ones like us, the Indians now, and war-torn countries that come. It is the realtor who has led that path, who has connected refugee immigrant families and even longtime families to a new home, to a home of their choice. And that's something important. And that just comes back to, we always have to work together. Because for the home to sell, you got to have good schools, safe streets, good neighborhoods, all the amenities that make, you know, just a house a home. Mm-hmm. And that's something important. I just want people to remember that. That's what Clovis is about. That's what we like. And that's why we pride ourselves in working with everyone to allow people to come enjoy, you know, the Clovis way of life.
There you go. I want to thank our listeners, too, for tuning in today. And I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I did. And Vong, I hope you enjoyed being here also.
No, always enjoy being able to share and promote Clovis.
There you go. We'll be back again next week. So excuse me. Stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio. Thank you.